This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Last week, and I'm going to cover some ground because I want to get to an area. This message is entitled God's Word and Your Thoughts. The text scripture we've been looking at applies to Hezekiah. We've talked about him. I won't go into him too much in 2 Chronicles. I wanted you to catch, though, this point. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began, the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and he prospered. So our objective is, with this series we've been talking about, we want to end the year well so we can start the year well. So instead of ending the year and barely making it to New Year's Eve and then deciding you're going to turn over a new leaf, we want to start turning over some new leaves right now. And we talked about some of the things that Hezekiah did. We talked about the fact whatever he did, he put all his heart into it. And I think you can't miss that. Whatever we do, we want to do it with our heart. And so he did it with the kingdom of God. He rebuilt the temple. And we liken that to what we do for God and his kingdom. We talked about that last week. Then he talked about in the law. So we're going to talk about in how he approached God's word. And Hezekiah had a reverence for God's word. He approached it. And so tonight I want to talk a little bit about that, because how we value God's word is important. Now here's one of the keys to that. I think sometimes when we talk about, and you hear me talk about read your Bible all the time. I don't know if people understand why they should read their Bible. They just know that if you're a Christian, that's what you're supposed to do. But if you know, if you feel like you got to do something because you're supposed to do it, you won't do it. Amen. At some point in time, you're like, I ain't going to. You wouldn't want to go when you were dating. You would hate to have someone look at you and go, okay, I'm going out with you because I'm supposed to. You're like, man, that doesn't sound like a great date. It's kind of like a blind date. Okay, I've had a few of those. Where it's like, okay, you're a friend and my buddy is dating his girlfriend and I'm coming along. And so he brings some girl because, you know, okay. There were two of us, kind of like we got roped into this. We're looking at one another like, okay, we're going to make it through the night, but don't give me a hard time. And it's just got that supposed to. There's a whole difference with that and someone that wants to. And so tonight I want to talk a little bit. I want to give you some really good reasons why you should want to value God's word. Jesus said this. He said this in Mark, the 4th chapter. And he said, anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. Now, the principle here, he's saying is, if whatever you put into it is what you're going to get out of. Has anyone ever said this or had this thought? If I could go back to school now, I would kill it. Because you didn't value school when you were there. Some of you got a PhD in partying. Some of you just paid no attention. But how many of you know if you go back, in fact, typically people who go back to college when they're older do a lot better. Why? One, they value it. Two, they put a lot more into it. And so they go in with I'm doing this. There's a valuation here. And valuing things, whatever you value is what you're going to put something into. So Jesus is saying, whatever measure you use, you can apply that across the board. You can apply it into relationships. You can apply it into your relationship with God. We're going to look at it tonight just from the perspective of God's word. But what you put in is what you're going to get out. And if you're, man, you put something into it, you're going to get something out of it. And so what I'd like to get you away from is the feeling like, okay, I have to read my Bible. I'm supposed to read my Bible. I hope by the time that tonight ends, you're going to realize this will really help me. If I read my Bible, this will really help me if I value God's word. Because one of the things we're going to talk about is what it does in our life. And if you begin to realize what it does and the potential it has to absolutely change your life and to revolutionize your life, then you're going to realize, no, this is something I want to do, not something I have to do. Didn't say it was easy. It's always easier to watch YouTube videos of cats. Because that doesn't require anything from us. But when you realize, hey, this is valuable. This is going to pay off in my life. So we talked last week about God's word can be powerful, precious, or pointless in your life. Powerful is Romans, the first chapter, verse 16. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel. Listen, don't be ashamed when we invite, when you invite friends, and there is at Christmas, there is a gospel presentation, because we want to make sure they hear the gospel, because it's the gospel that has the power to change someone's life. Yeah, right. Someone can hear it. Now, and you can have two people sitting right beside one another, and somebody can hear it, and it just absolutely, they come alive with it, and someone else can go to sleep. Come on. And so it's, again, it's what you put into it. And if you value it, it can absolutely change your life. But it says it's the power of God to salvation. Now, often, typically, depending on how you were raised, we look at salvation in one term. We look at salvation only in, that's eternal life. That's me going to heaven when I die. That salvation is what we're talking about. Salvation is a huge word. Salvation, you stop and think about it, it's a salvation from whatever you need. It's the power of God to salvation from drug addiction, alcohol addiction, any kind of addiction you have. It's the power of God to salvation from depression and oppression. Y'all here? Okay, just checking. I figured by now I'd have hit something on somebody and they're like, that's good news. It's salvation. I call it for sin, sickness, and sadness. And we used this verse last week, and I'm going to talk a little bit more later on. It said in Proverbs, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. There is no better word that's going to land in your heart other than God's word. It can absolutely make you glad, because I was someone that lived with depression for most of my life and have no longer lived with depression anymore. I haven't been depressed in years, and I'm very grateful for that. But it wasn't because I woke up one day and go, I'm going to mature. Come on. Or I'm just going to change. No, I had something to help me change. God's word's powerful. God's word also is precious. Now, here's a great way to look at this. Paul was writing to the church of Thessalonica, and he wrote, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe it. So if someone says, well, I don't know. I don't know why you even bother going to church on Wednesday night. Isn't that a waste of time? Well, to a lot of people, it's not a waste of time, because they hear God's word, they hear God's thoughts, they hear things, and they believe it, and it begins to work in them. God's word will work in your marriage. God's word, because it'll work in you, and if it works in you, it'll work in my marriage. People say, fix my marriage. We got to fix you first. Everyone just looks straight ahead. Don't you look at your spouse. Don't even do it. But the idea is it effectively works in you who believe it. And so as you begin to believe it, it makes a difference in your life. Now, here's where we're going to go with this. Let me give you some practical ideas, and we're going to talk about changing, going into the new year with some new thoughts. Here's practically valuing God's word in our lives. Here's some things you want to do. Number one, you want to hear it. Here, you say, well, that's what we're doing right now. Exactly. That's what you're doing right now. There are times where I know Joy and I, we listen to God's word a lot. Sometimes some people have it on tape. Some people have it a lot of times we just have it playing. Oftentimes we'll go to sleep listening to sermons. You're like, go to sleep listening to sermons? Yeah. One of the best. Well, we know this. We know it's not going to be bad news. We know it's not going to be fake news. We know it's not going to have, you know, moments of craziness. It's going to be good stuff. So we'll go to sleep and just listen. We hear it. We hear it. And the second thing is read it. Now, I realize people say, Alan, I'm not a reader. I don't like to read. I think that's something you can talk to the Lord about. And say, Lord, I may not like to read, but I want to read your word. Because reading it is important. Now listen, and I've done this for a while. Have you ever noticed how if you could get on the internet and start looking up stuff and look up 2 hours later and realize, oh my gosh, I just spent 2 hours Googling stuff. Am I the only one? No. Come on, people, this is Wednesday night. Be honest. Don't you lie in church the last Wednesday night of the... You could go in and absolutely, you could just go and you can look up and go, my goodness, where did the time go? And so you can read. And what I found is, and just Alan's time to be honest, the Bible is much more challenging to read than the internet, the newspaper, magazines, books, because again, it requires a little bit of focus and concentration from us. And you can read internet stuff, and I'm a speed reader. I skim stuff. So, man, I can skim and read, and I can read. As a kid, my parents would send me out to get newspapers to bring in to start a fire. It was cold where I lived, and we started a fire. And they'd have to come get me because I would be reading a newspaper article and just get caught up in reading the article. I love to read, and I've learned to be a speed reader. And I realized it's so easy to speed read stuff, but you sit down to read the Bible. Sometimes you can read a whole chapter, and you just stop and go, I can't tell you a single thing I just read. Now, for those of you that I'm your pastor, if I, as your pastor, just told you that I do that, then do not beat yourself up if you read a whole chapter and go, I could not tell you a single thing I just read. But here's the thing, you know what I go do? I go read it again. And then I'll read it again. And sometimes I read it again. I don't know what it is, but for that third or fourth time, it's just like it kicks in because it's got some life into it. And if you'll focus on it, it'll help you. Now, here's the deal. I've been selling people on for years on the idea of reading one chapter a day. Take you an average of 3 minutes and 35 seconds. You've heard that. You got to start somewhere. Amen. You've heard me say acquire a taste. How many of you heard of acquired tastes? Yeah. Someone told me that sushi is an acquired taste. Anybody like sushi? Amen. Okay. Who doesn't like sushi? I'm with you. A friend of mine took me out. Carrie Corbin took me to see, oh man, you gotta try this. This is the best sushi. No. Well, you need to acquire a No. I don't have to acquire a taste for chicken, brisket, tamales, and I don't want to acquire a taste for sushi. But sometimes people say, oh, this, you need to educate your palate. Don't want them. I'm willing to live with an ignorant palate for a long time if it comes. When I was younger, people say, you need to drink scotch, Alan. I tasted it. I said, this is horrible. This is like when I used to drink. I said, this is horrible stuff. Well, you need to acquire a taste for it. Why? Because it's cool. 22-year-old guy drinking scotch, that's cool. Why? Because only old alcoholics drink scotch? Okay, I got it. If you're an old alcoholic, apologies. You know, seriously. But here's my thought behind that. If people will acquire a taste for something because of outside pressure, how much more should we acquire a taste for God's word that will actually help us in our life? And so I make no apologies over encouraging people to read their Bible. And I'm going to give you some good reasons in just a moment. Let me run through this. So we've got hear it. We've got read it. The third one is memorize it or meditate on it. Memorize it, meditate on it. And again, I'm gonna give you some backup for that, but let me show you this verse. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, meditate on these things and give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Meditation was the idea of you think about it, you begin to think about how it applies in your life. And so there's a meditate on it, speak it. Oftentimes I will read out loud. And I realize that slows you down, but it does slow you down. Yes. And there's something about speaking. If you stop, think about it. That is one of the reminders that we were created in the image of God. And I realize people think that their dogs talk to them. But we're the only, but your dog may communicate with its eyes or may communicate with a bark or a nudge, but he has never come up to you and said, hey, can we talk about the quality of food that's been coming in here lately? We don't get any of that. And so we're the only ones that can speak, and we are created in God's image, and we have the ability to put words together, and putting God's word is powerful in your life. And the last one is practice it. This is what James says about it. James says, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, he's talking about God's word, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So hear it, read it, memorize or meditate it, speak it, and practice it. Those are some areas you can check up on and go, am I beginning to do this? Now tonight, let me wrap up with this. I want to talk about going into the new year with new thoughts. I was in a Whataburger about 25 years ago around on the feeder road off 290. I was in this Whataburger and they had had an anniversary or something because they had balloons. So all the tables and they were tied and they were very festive. I sat down, I was between sales calls. And so I sat down, grab a cup of coffee, think, make some notes. And there was only one other table in the restaurant with me, with three people sitting close by. And so I was paying no attention to them. They were talking and laughing. And we were sitting there, and all of a sudden, two of those balloons popped. Pop, pop. Well, I kind of startled because balloons just popped. These people, all three of them, hit the floor under the table. And then when no more balloons popped, they came back up and they were brushing themselves off. And this is what they said. Oh man, I thought that was a drive-by. Now, I've been raised in pretty nice neighborhoods all my life. There are no drive-bys in my neighborhood, but in their neighborhoods, there were drive-bys. So you had two people with two different thought processes, two different beliefs going on, and two totally different responses to a balloon popping. One's hitting the floor, the other one just looks up from his coffee because of what they believed, because of what they thought. In 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, let's look at this verse. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that means fleshly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Let me talk just a little bit to you about your thoughts. If you ever have done any psychology, they have a very scientifically proven type of therapy called cognitive behavioral therapy. And what cognitive behavioral therapy does is where your psychologist will sit down with you and you will go through your thoughts and you will begin to examine and challenge your thoughts. Now, the reason for that is, and that's why often your psychologist will say, well, how do you feel about that? Or what do you think about that? And they're asking questions. Why? Because they're trying to get you to identify thoughts that are distorted, thoughts that are wrong. Now, I want to make a pretty much a blanket statement. All of us have thoughts in our life that are wrong. All of us have thoughts that are, maybe it's how you were raised, maybe it's a function of all the parts of our life, but there are some go-to thoughts that all of us have. I messed up. I'm a failure. I'm a loser. These are negative thoughts. Now, you might never verbalize these to them, but these are thoughts that go through a lot of people's mind. I'm not deserving, I'm unloving, or I'm lovable. A lot of different thoughts. I've heard people, and I've done it myself, I've messed something up, and I've just said, stupid, stupid, stupid. What am I doing? I'm talking about myself. I'm stupid. No. And here's what. These thoughts are wrong. What we just read said, you've got to look at these thoughts and you have to stop allowing these thoughts to run rampant through your life. Taking thoughts captive. Taking thoughts captive means at some point in time in your life, you're going to have to start evaluating some of the thoughts you have. Why did I react the way I did when the balloons went off? Because balloons popping, the loud noise may have startled me, but I wasn't thinking someone was shooting. Why? Because I've kind of grown up in really white bread neighborhoods where nobody shoots at one another. We wrap your mailbox sometimes, but we don't shoot people. So these are nice. But they grew up in a difficult neighborhood where people shot, so their thinking is completely different. They reacted different. Why do you react when someone rejects you or says something unkind and all of a sudden you blow up? Is it their fault or is it because of the way you think? And if it's because of the way we think, listen, all of us are subject to this. All of us have hot spots. Have you ever had somebody say something to you and you blew it off and someone else said, I can't believe that they said that to you. If they said that to me, I'd go postal. If you work in the post office, I'm sorry. I'm just offending everybody tonight. But the idea is that these thoughts, we're going to have to start challenging the thoughts. And you say, Alan, what am I going to challenge them with? Here's the key. What does God's Word say about you? See, when you read the Bible, you're not just reading to check a box. You're not just reading to do a duty. You're not just reading to get God off your back because you read the Bible. You're not just reading to get on His good side. What you're reading to do is get His thoughts and His perspective on who you are and who your life is, and so you can begin to challenge the thoughts that come in. If you were being prosecuted and someone took you to court, don't you know you're not going to sit there without having a defense attorney? You're being sued and someone is standing up and there's an attorney who's saying, and this individual is wrong, and this individual did this, and this individual did that. You might sit there for a while, but you're thinking to yourself, all right, but my attorney is about to have a say-so in this. Listen, too often we have allowed the enemy, negative thoughts, wrong thoughts, to have the only voice in our life. And they're telling you, you can't do this. You're incapable of this. You can't learn. You can't read. You can't do all of these things. And there's been no opposing attorney's voice to rise up and go, that's wrong. But when you begin to find out what God says about you, all of a sudden you've got a brand new defense attorney. And when the prosecuting attorney says, you're wrong, you're a loser, you're a failure, yeah, excuse me, Your Honor, Heavenly Father, because you're the only judge, I would like to bring up some additional evidence. I don't care if the prosecution's got years of track record. Sir, I'd like to bring up the fact that I've been washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I've been forgiven. I'd like to bring that into the court. And Your Honor, I'd like to bring your word that says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, and the person that did that is gone and passed away, and I'm a new creation in Christ. That's your word, sir. That's what you said. And, Lord, you also said that if I was in Christ, I am more than a conqueror. And Lord, you also said that I am blessed and I cannot be cursed. Do you see what I'm saying? You're going to have to raise an opposing voice to the negative thoughts in your life. And when the negative thoughts come, this is what we're saying, taking thoughts captive. If someone came into your house, would you just allow them to come into you? And you're sitting there and all of a sudden someone busts into your house. You're sitting there on your couch with your family and you watch them walk by. And you're like, is that a strange person in our house?
Come on now.
This is Texas.
Yeah.
This is Texas. We shoot if you loot. How many of you know? You wouldn't just sit there calling and go, oh, there's a strange person in our house. Oh, it looks like, honey, it looks like he's taking your jewelry. He just grabbed my favorite gun. There he goes. How many of you would not allow that for a moment? How many of you're going to stay? You're going to at least put up some kind of fight.
Yeah.
Come on, guys, this is Texas. We're not talking about New Hampshire. This is Texas. We're going to put up some kind of fight. And the Bible says that we've got these thoughts that are coming in, and these thoughts are telling you, you're never going to amount to much. It's never going to happen. You're always going to live this way. This is always the way it's going to be. Your kids are never going to turn out right. You're going to have a bad marriage. You're going to have this. No one wants to marry you in the first place. How are you going to get out of poverty? All this. You got all these thoughts, and we've been sitting there for a long time going, I know. And it's time we stop that. And that thought comes, and we go, whoa, hang on just a second. I've got another thought. And that says, and this is what God's Word says about me.
Amen. That's right.
Why am I so big on reading the Bible, guys? Because I can remember being depressed. And I can remember being just, and go through times where I would get down. In my family, it was considered okay if you were moody. What's wrong with Mom? Oh, she's in a bad mood. Oh, okay. Why is Alan all snappy and grumpy? Because he's in a bad mood. Oh, okay. Now, if I'm talking about your family, like I said, I don't know. Just look straight ahead. I'm talking about my family. But what happened was, if you were in a bad mood, that gave you the ability to do almost anything that wasn't just totally offensive to the rest of the family, including be in a bad mood, including be grumpy, including be nasty. What happens is, after a while, you learn to yield to those kind of thoughts. I've got a bad feeling. Oh, I'm in a bad mood. Nothing I can do about it. Or is there? See, this is where we're going to have to challenge these thoughts. I can tell I'm not going to get this wrapped up in 15 minutes at all. Tell you what we do. I just may do a whole one on taking thoughts captive in January. And we'll start that. Would you come back?
Yes. Yeah.
I won't ask for a show of hands, but don't tell the rest of them, okay? Just don't tell them. We'll sneak it up on them. But the idea is, thank God we don't have to live with the thoughts that have plagued us. We can replace them. Amen. And you can replace them with God's thoughts. If you woke up tomorrow morning and walked into your kitchen to get a cup of coffee, and the Lord Jesus was sitting at your table, and he says, hey, sit down. If he was looking across the table for you, do you think he'd look at you and go, I'm really sorry that you're such a loser? How many of you believe that would never come from the Lord's mouth? He always saw potential. He always saw what people could be. He was merciful. Don't you know he'd look across to you and go, I want to tell you something. You're a whole lot more valuable than you give yourself credit for being. Amen. You know, and you're my child, and I've done a work in you that no one can ever undo. You're going to spend eternity with me in heaven. You're going to rule and reign with me. And I've made you a king and a priest unto our God. You're royalty. You have such great value. You have such great potential. I just need you to agree with me that what I'm telling you is true, and the thoughts you've grown up with all your life are wrong. There's truth. You say, well, Alan, my life is messed up. I've had so many things I've done wrong, and there's so many things I've messed up, and I've had a failure after this, and I can't make relationships work, or I can't make career work, I can't make all this, and I realize there's a lot of evidence that have stacked up against you. There is truth, and then there's spiritual truth. And spiritual truth is higher. And when we begin to latch on to spiritual truth and say, I don't care what's happened in the past, that does not determine who I am and who my future is. And I'm grabbing a hold of God's spiritual truth that says, I am able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Spiritual truth that says, I am blessed and I've been redeemed from the curse of the law of sickness, of sin, of stuff. And you begin to grab onto that, your life will change. Is it overnight? No. Is it a process? Yes. But if you stay with that process, it'll change you. From a guy who had, there wasn't a month that went by that I didn't get down or get in a funk or get bad or have bad moods. And guys, that continued for years, and I had people pray for me and people do things. But when I began to change my thoughts, and I began to realize, thank God, I do not have to live with depression. Thank God, you don't have to live with bipolar. You don't have to live with any, or we've got more disorders now. There's so many disorders. If somebody probably sat down and talked to me, they would probably figure out that I have some kind of disorder. I don't have time for that, because I've got a higher truth that says that he who the Son has set free is free indeed. And so, Alan, they told me I'm this. Alan, they said I'm that. I'm telling you there's a higher truth. And I'm telling you, when you latch on to a higher truth and you begin to listen, I just read an article that said cognitive behavior therapy, they will actually tell you if you're going through a hard time, have cue cards with thoughts about who you are and what you could do. 3x5 flashcards. This is psychologists saying that. Saying, bring out flashcards. Thank you. Alan's got a better idea. instead of bringing out flashcards as you just wrote up about neat things about yourself, why don't we bring out flashcards about this is who I am in Christ, this is who God has said about me, and you can use those as flashcards. I was reading this article, I'm going, this is what God's been saying all along. Trade in those old thoughts, adopt His new thoughts, and hang on to them and do not let go, and they will absolutely change your life. Unless the Lord leads me another way, I'll jump into this and I'll go into this in January. Because I just, there's so much here. And I know you guys are good, but I know that I'm throwing new stuff at you. Some of y'all look at me like, it's causing you to think. And I can hear the wheels just churning. And some of you are just grinding the gears. I know it's just, but I believe we can get there. And I believe, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, God's word can absolutely change your life. It is the power of God to salvation to them that believe. So, man, we believe it, and we'll talk about more about a latch on to it. Listen, I appreciate you coming on Wednesday night. I always enjoy Wednesday night. We have fun, don't we?
Yes.
Don't tell the Sunday folks. We'll just keep it our secret. But we have fun on Wednesday nights. And we're going to have some great, I still believe our best days ahead. Say, Alan, you always say that because that's what I believe. I believe our best days are ahead. I believe the best times are ahead. Say, you're getting too old to say that. Who said?
Right.
Old to who? Not old to me. Amen. Because I still believe that we go from glory to glory. And the Bible says that even when I'm old, I'm going to be fat and flourishing. I'll pass on the fat. I'll take the flourishing. But the idea is, we can still keep going on. We don't have to settle in for anything. Our best days are ahead. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these people. I ask your blessings upon them, that you would bless them and that your face would shine upon them, that you would give them grace. As they end this year, Father, that this will be a year that they move into 2018 with a lot of momentum and a lot of hope that things can change, their life can change, their families can change, because you are a God that enables change in our life. And we thank you for it. As we, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you came this evening and said, Alan, I don't even know if I have a relationship with God. I don't even know if I'm right with Him or not. Or maybe you're saying, Alan, I had a relationship with the Lord and I got away from Him and I know that and I want to come back. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. But I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. We're going to pray it out loud as a church. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. We're not going to embarrass anybody, but that's you that I'm talking to. And you say, Alan, I want the Lord in my life, or I want to come back to Him, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. Would you just have the courage just to uplift your hand just for a moment, just say, Alan, that's me that you're talking to. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you. Appreciate that. Anybody else? No, that's great. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Pray this prayer. We all pray together. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Now, I'm going to ask you just one more thing. I know we're running just a tad late, but I'm asking you to do one thing. If you just keep your head bowed just for a moment. And this keeps coming up in my heart. So I want to pray for people who are just absolutely tormented with thoughts. And those thoughts have tormented, and oftentimes the Christmas season can absolutely bring it out. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight for those who are just dealing with thoughts that have tormented them, some for years. And Father, I just thank you for your truth and your light that can shine through and break through. And Father, I ask that if the only thing they hold on to tonight is that there is hope and things don't have to stay this way, then Father, that's all I ask. Father, for those that are hurting during this time, lonely during this time, where this is a tough season for them, I ask, Father, that the light and the love of your word and your spirit will dawn in their hearts and they realize that, hey, I'm going to make it. I'm going to come through. Father, I thank you for that. Give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.